For I've had enough of this world and its pleasures. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Father. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah, house of my Yah.
Shalom, and welcome to today's teaching on the Hebraic roots of Christianity, where we study first century Christianity and the faith that Jesus, whose Hebrew name is Yeshua, which means salvation, taught his disciples. And now, Hebraic roots teacher Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries International.
Shalom. I'm Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to today's teaching on the subject, The Principles of the Greater Exodus. This is part 19 of the series.
So the day of the Lord is both darkness and gloominess. That's judgment. That's negative. That's because the tribulation, the great tribulation, is a part of the day of the Lord. But the day of the Lord is also clouds and thick darkness. That is positive. That is Yeshua gathering his people from exile back to the land in the form of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Now, I'm going to show you further how that it is during the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation is when Yeshua gathers and unites the 12 tribes of Israel. We can see this in Revelation in chapter 7. In the first few verses of the chapter, it describes 144,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel who get sealed. And then a question gets asked in Revelation chapter 7, verse 13. What are these that are arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And this is because after we're told about the sealing of the 144,000, it says in Revelation in chapter 7, in verse 9, after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds, of peoples and tongues. And so then a question is asked, who are these? And in Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, it is answered this way: these are they that came out of great tribulation. So we can link these that came out of great tribulation with the ministry of the 144,000. The ministry of the 144,000 is associated with these that came out of great tribulation. The great tribulation is the 3.5 years before Yeshua sets his feet down on the Mount of Olives. And then describing these of every kindred, nations, peoples, and tongues that came out of the Great Tribulation, it describes them this way in Revelation chapter 7, verses 16 and 17. They will hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and he will lead them into living fountains of water. So Revelation in chapter 7 in verses 16 and 17 is a quote from Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 10. So Isaiah chapter 49 verse 10 is those that came out of great tribulation. So we need to go back to Isaiah chapter 49 and see who these people are. So in Isaiah chapter 49 verse 6, it says, it's a light thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. It is talking about the servant of the Lord, who is the Messiah, and his role to gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel. And then speaking about the servant of the Lord, the Messiah, raising up the tribes of Jacob, it then goes on to say in Isaiah 49:9 that you may say to the prisoners, go forth. So the exiles of Israel are likened unto prisoners, and they have been put in their prison house because they departed from the Torah. We see this in Isaiah 42, verse 18. Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that you may see. Verse 19. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I send? Verse 22. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared and holed. souls. They are hid in prison houses. So who's deaf and blind? It's the Lord's servant. And Jacob is the Lord's servant. And then it says in verse 24, who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient to his Torah. So Jacob is in exile, which is called his prison, because he would not follow the Torah of the one that brought him out of Egypt. So in Isaiah 49:9, it's being said to the prisoners, go forth. That is Jacob in exile, to leave his exile. Now here's what it says about the prisoners who are being told to leave their exile. Isaiah 49:10, they shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that has mercy on them. This is defined as the Lamb in Revelation chapter 7. He that has mercy on them shall lead them, even by springs of water shall he guide them. So in answering the question, Revelation chapter 7, who are these that came out of great tribulation? In stating in Revelation 7 verse 16, they will hunger no more, they will thirst no more, neither shall the sun light upon them nor any heat, for the Lamb will lead them into living fountains of water. Verse 17, this is Isaiah chapter 49, verse 10. So this is how we can make a link in an association that Revelation is talking about the exiles of Israel. So they're being gathered and their robes are being made white during the great tribulation, the 3.5 year period that precedes Yeshua setting his feet down on the Mount of Olives. So this is the same period of time that's mentioned in Revelation chapter 12, where the woman that gives birth flees in the wilderness for 1,260 days. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt on their way to the promised land, they fled into the wilderness. So this is a spiritual picture for us that when the exiles of Israel leave, being scattered in the nations of the world, they're going to be going from where they're at, which is the wilderness of the peoples, it says in Ezekiel chapter 20, on their way to return to the land of Israel. Then it says in Revelation 7 verse 17, God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. So the exile is likened to a time of mourning or a time of tears. And so we can see in Jeremiah in chapter 31, verse 15, the following. Thus says the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. See, when Rachel's children are in exile, she's weeping. And so when the tears are wiped away, his people are no longer in exile. So Revelation 7 is associating the ministry of the 144,000 with the end of the exile of the 12 tribes and the greater exodus. That is because the 144,000 are going to be the Moses people. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, then there was just one people that was being led out. They just needed one leader to lead them. That was Moses. But when his people scattered in all the nations of the world, they're going to be coming from various different places, being led by Yeshua in the form of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And so each camp that is returning and being led by the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, they're going to have a leader. And the 144,000 are their leaders. And so we are telling about their ministry in Revelation in chapter 7. And so in order to further see that a shofar is blown in the middle of the night, and this is going to be a reference to the great tribulation, that's when it's going to be said that the bridegroom is coming. Matthew 25 verse 6. This is the parable of the 10 virgins. And in the parable, it says, and at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom comes, go out to meet him. Because the great tribulation, in the start of the great tribulation, is the time of midnight. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they left at midnight. And so they are going to be leaving as well in the end of days, in the last generation, at midnight. Midnight is the start of the great tribulation. And so at midnight, they blew the shofar and said, the bridegroom comes. In other words, Yeshua the Messiah is going to be gathering, uniting the 12 tribes of Israel in the form of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, starting at the Passover that that begins the Great Tribulation and leading his people back to the land for that 3.5 year period of the Great Tribulation. And so now we're going to see that the exiles of Israel are gathered by the blowing of a shofar. Isaiah chapter 27, verse 13. And it will come to pass in that day that the great shofar will be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and they will worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. The holy mount at Jerusalem is Mount Zion. So his people's leaving their captivity and they're coming to Mount Zion. And so until Messiah is ruling and reigning over his people, which is the Messianic era, they still haven't completed their journey out of Egypt, and they still haven't been fully redeemed from the captivity of the northern kingdom by the Assyrians and the southern kingdom by the Babylonians. That's why the text says they are coming from Assyria and Egypt. It's associating the initial coming out of Egypt and the initial captivity into the nations with the final redemption. And so now during the 3.5 year time of the Great Tribulation, in Revelation chapter 13, we see that a beast rises up out of the sea, Revelation 13, verse 1, and rules for 42 months. Revelation 13, verse 1, it says, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. And it says in verse 4, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. So who is it among the believers in Yeshua as the Messiah that the beast makes war with and overcomes? Well, it says in Revelation in chapter 13, we are given this warning in verse 9. If any man has an ear, let him hear. In other words, pay attention to what is being stated. And what's being stated in verse 10 is, he that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. So, in other words, the people that the beast overcomes, who believes that Yeshua is the Messiah, they are trying to fight the beast. And the scriptures tell us that when the beast arises and come to power, we're not supposed to war and fight against him. We are to be ready to have Yeshua lead his people back to the land of Israel in the form of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And these are the ones who get the victory over the beast, as we see in Revelation chapter 15, verses 2 and 3. And I saw as it them that had gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name. And those that get the victory, they have harps. And in verse 3, they sing the song of Moses, and they sing the song of the Lamb. And so the song of Moses is what the children of Israel sang when Pharaoh and his army was defeated in Exodus in chapter 15, and the children of Israel were free. And so in Exodus in chapter 15, verse 1, it says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. And they spake, saying, I will sing. I will is future. So what they sang in their victory over Pharaoh and his army, what they sang, the text says that they will sing. In other words, what is happening to them will happen again. And so in Revelation 15, verse 3, they not only sing the song of Moses, but they sing the song of the Lamb. And so the end of the exile is likened to a song. And so deliverance brings about joy. And so whenever you are held captive and you are in bondage and you're set free, you want to shout, you want to sing, you want to praise. And so that's why the redemption by the Messiah of his people is likened to a song. You see, being exiled in the nations of the world in Babylon, it's associated with weeping. Psalm 137, verse 1, by the rivers of Babylon, we sat down, we wept whenever we remembered Zion. And so in Babylon, or being in exile in the nations of the world, you're not singing. You're sitting down. You are weeping. And then it says in Psalm 137, verse 2, we hanged our harps upon the willows. You see, in Babylon, in exile, your harp is hanging upon the willow tree, the weeping willow tree. In other words, you cannot play your harp. And so then in verse 3, for there, they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And so this is the mocking words that the captors say to the people of the God of Israel in exile, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And so the response in Psalm 137 verse 4 is, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? So you cannot sing the Lord's song. The Lord here is a reference to the Messiah, Yeshua. You cannot sing his song when you're in bondage, when you're in captivity, when you are in exile. And it's only when you're not in captivity, you're not in bondage, you're not in exile, can you sing the song of Zion. And so that is why it says in Revelation chapter 15 verse 3, they sing the song of Moses and they sing the song of the Lamb. The song of the Lamb is the response to the Messiah gathering and uniting the 12 tribes of Israel and ending their exile. So in Revelation 15 and verse 2, those that get the victory over the beast, his mark, his image, and the number of his name, they're playing harps. You see, you cannot play harps in exile. Your harp is on the willow. Psalm 137 verse 2. And so Mount Zion is associated with not being in captivity. So this is why in Revelation 14 verse 1 it says, and I looked and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. And so the Messiah is on Mount Zion, and the leaders of the greater Exodus are with him. They're on Mount Zion as well. And in verse 2 it says, I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. You see, on Mount Zion, you can play your harp. And so this is the understanding in Revelation 15 verse 2 that those that get the victory, they have the harps. In other words, they get the victory because the Messiah is bringing deliverance to them and he's bringing them back to the land. And so the beast, his mark and his image, have no power, no authority over them. But if the people of the God of Israel, if they do not prepare themselves for the Messiah's return and know that he's coming to gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel, their human natural response will be to fight for their lives, to fight against the beast. And those who fight against the beast in the natural, the scripture says that the beast will overcome them. That's why this message and understanding that Yeshua's coming at his second coming is associated, related to his role to gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel is so critical. It's so important because Messiah's bride must make herself ready. And so the next thing that we're going to understand is the principle that the Shekinah, which is the Jewish term for the glory of the Lord, that when the children of Israel were in Egypt, the Shekinah was in Egypt with them. When they were in exile, the Shekinah was in exile with them to comfort them. But when they leave Egypt, when they leave their captivity in the nations of the world, the Shekinah is going to return with them. So in what form does the Shekinah return with them? In the form of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. So now we're going to look at the book, The Messiah Texts by Raphael Patai on page 181, and the heading for chapter 19 of the book is the ingathering, meaning the ingathering of the exiles, the end of the exile, and the return of the Shekinah, the glory of the Lord. And so it says, one of the great themes of the messianic cycle is that of the Kibbutz Galiot, the ingathering of the exiles from the four corners of the earth. Ever since the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple by the Romans in the year 70, Jews pray three times a day for the ingathering of the exiles, which is associated with the final redemption. And closely associated with it is the understanding of the 10 tribes who were exiled by the Assyrians in 721 BC, that these tribes will be ingathered by the Messiah to the land of Israel along with Judah. So now from the Sanchino, which is an Orthodox Jewish published work, to the Midrash Rabbah, and that is the teachings of the rabbis on scripture. Volume 7, page 105, it says, when the children of Israel were exiled, the Shekinah went into exile with them. We can also see the same principle mentioned in the Talmud in Megillah 29a, as it says, it has been taught that Rabbi Simon, son of Yohai, said, come and see how beloved are Israel in the sight of God, in that to every place to which they were exiled, the Shekinah went with them. They were exiled to Egypt, and the Shekinah was with them, as it says, quoting from 1 Samuel 2:27, did I reveal myself unto the house of your father when they were in Egypt? So this is interpreted to be the Shekinah. Continuing, it says, and when they will be redeemed in the future, the Shekinah will be with them. As it says, and it's quoting now Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 3, then the Lord your God will return with your captivity. In the Hebrew, it does not say he shall bring back, but he shall return. This teaches us that the Holy One, blessed be he, will return with his people from the places of exile. So we see in Psalm 102 and verse 16, when the Lord builds up Zion, he will appear in his glory. Well, Jerusalem and Zion are synonymous terms in the scripture. So the building up of Zion is the same as the building up of Jerusalem. In Psalm 147 verse 2, it says, when the Lord builds up Jerusalem, he gathers together the outcasts of Israel. So the building up of Zion is the building up of Jerusalem, which is the gathering of the outcasts of Israel, the exiles of Israel. So when the Lord, that is the Messiah, gathers the outcasts of Israel, he will appear in his glory. And so the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night is the glory of the Lord. We can see this in Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire. So they were led by the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. We can see from Exodus chapter 40, verse 34, that the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night is called the glory of the Lord. That a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. This is parallelism, that the cloud is the glory of the Lord, and the tent is the tabernacle. And so we can see that the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night is the glory of the Lord from Exodus in chapter 24, verses 16 and 17, as it is written, and the glory of the Lord abode. The word in Hebrew for abode is shekad, from which we get Shekinah, the abiding presence. The glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and a cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. So in that verse, the cloud is called the glory of the Lord. Verse 17, the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire. And so the sight of it is a fire, and the glory abode, and the cloud covered the mount. And so the glory of the Lord is the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. We are told in Revelation chapter 21, verse 23, that Yeshua is the glory of the Lord. And Revelation 21 is describing, beginning in verse 9, the New Jerusalem. And so in describing the New Jerusalem, it says, and the city, this is Revelation 21, 23, had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So the glory of God lights the New Jerusalem, and the Lamb is that light. So Yeshua, the Lamb, is the glory of the Lord.
Well, that's going to conclude part 19 of the series on the subject, The Principles of the Greater Exodus. Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
Thank you, Eddie. This is Stephen Morgan, and all of us here at Hebraic Heritage Ministries pray that you have enjoyed today's teaching. If you've been blessed, will you help us to share this message with others? Hebraic Heritage Ministries is supported by your generous financial gifts. In order to help you in your studies and to help us share this message with others, we are offering today the DVD, Yeshua the Lawgiver, for free for a love gift of any amount to the ministry. Hebraic Heritage Ministries also offers a monthly discipleship program. If you are interested in starting a fellowship group in your area, let us know. We would like to help you. Please contact us for more details. Our website is hebroots.org. That's HEBROOTS.ORG. We would like to hear from you. Please send us an email. Finally, in order to take advantage of today's free offer, please mention this product offer and please mail your love gift to Hebraic Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 81, Strasburg, that's Strasburg, Ohio, 44680. Until next time, may Yeshua richly bless you.